Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice, and you've joined the show where we explore the link between human and brand behavior. My goal is to physically uplift the narrative around the link between how brands influence people and how people influence brands. I'm thrilled today because we're going to be chatting about how youth, or the role that youth have in brand disruption. It's an exciting conversation, particularly because right now the world has been flipped upside down. Everything from politics and how we engage politics, how millennials and, you know, youth are physically changing how we see the world, how we engage activism, how we look at everything from what we expect from brands. And I'm going to be bringing in a moment a pioneer and sort of voice in this space, Mr. Bradley Maseko, who's got a fascinating expo coming up, which we'll talk about as well. But what's interesting is youth has always been sort of a contentious sort of subject. I remember English comedian Julian Clary bemoaned growing old this way. He says, however lighthearted you try to be about it, the loss of youth and everything that goes with it is quite a trauma. I remember Thomas Edison said, maturity is often more absurd than youth, and very frequently is more unjust to youth. Youth is a fascinating concept. I mean, if you think about the fountain of youth, I believe in many cultures, particularly a lot of heavily patriarchal cultures, the power of youth has been underestimated for many millennial. You can join us on the conversation. You can hit me up at Timothy Maurice. That's M-A-U-R-I-C-E. A lot of people like to use Morris, but it's Maurice, R-I-C-E. You can hit us up on WeChat, all the platforms, CliffCentral.com, and join the conversation. You know, I look at how and what's happening right now with brands like Airbnb. They have ripped apart the consciousness and the soul of the traditional hotels. And people now want more control of their experience. They want to be able to engage in a way where they're a much part of even designing the experience. And you look at what's happening in social media trends. It's long past the day where you post something and you go back 3 hours later and see who liked it. Now it's really about almost like live engagement. Live, being able to stream live, being able to engage live, has changed the way we expect to engage narratives. Co-creation is one of the most powerful phenomenons. I look at how an individual who, you know, has very little interest in going out in public, but understand trends, can log online and engage platforms like Periscope, any of these sort of live platforms, and just try on clothes and talk about these clothes and in a very sort of live way impact the brands. One of my favorite examples of how youth have impacted brands is the H&M story, where H&M ignored sort of like the New York Times, they ignored a lot of the bigger brands and bigger news outlets. And a youth found out about how they had been sort of destroying clothes instead of giving them to the needy. And then they went online and physically caused a bit of a storm. And then before you know it, H&M had to issue an apology. This was in New York. And I think what's really important about where we're going to take this show is that you recognize that we're in a different era. We're no longer experimenting. This is not about new media conversation. This is a new norm. So I want to bring in my guest this morning. He's an inspiring young man. His name is Bradley Maseko. He's the founder and youth market strategist at Branded Youth, a marketing agency that facilitates relationships between brands and the South African youth market. What's interesting, he also has a sort of a global position on this conversation because, you know, South Africa is sort of a global, occupies an interesting space in the global consciousness. He founded the agency in 2009 at a ripe, young, tender age and has since gone on to work with blue chip clients, consulting on how best they can engage and interact with the youth. He is the name behind some of the most youth engaging platforms in SA and as such as the Standard Bank Youth Expo, the Youth Empowerment Conference, and the SA Youth Indaba. He's a speaker on issues relating and engaging to communicating with the youth, and his articles and insights have appeared all over, from here to FinWeek, Business Community, CNBC Africa, and SAFM. Bradley, welcome to Unbranded.
Timothy, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for having me on your show. Really appreciate it.
I think it's a bit of a tragedy that you haven't been on so far. But it's good, though. At least you're here now. I'm very grateful. I'm excited about the Youth Expo that's coming up. But, you know, as we start the conversation, Bradley, I want to talk about, because being in South Africa must be exciting to you. It must be an exciting place to be, particularly because of how South Africa sort of lives between sort of the emerging market and sort of the developed market. But in many ways, often sets the trends in both. That's one of the things I love about being an SA. You'll find a product will evolve that the whole world falls in love with. I had someone on recently who was a young woman who was part of a co-creation of an app that helped blind people see by engaging. It's called Be Specular, and she's South African. But anyway, so there's so many just wonderful, inspiring people in this sort of youth sort of marketing branding space. Do you feel fortunate?
I really do. I'll tell you something, just to kind of step back. If you look at Branded Youth and basically the idea behind Branded Youth and what we do at Branded Youth, it's a youth marketing agency, but over and above that, like, all employees at Branded Youth are under the age of 35.
Okay.
So we actually design strategies, messages, engagement platforms that are for brands that want to engage young people that are under the age of 35. So if you want anything under the age of 35, we have the team under the age of 35 doing everything.
And
it's the energy within the team is so amazing.
But Bradley, isn't that like discrimination? I mean, ultimately, if a guy comes in, he's 46 and he feels, you remember this guy recently, this sort of, this guy who stole the internet's women's hearts with the gray beard. You remember that guy? If that guy comes, he's 52. He looks young. He clearly has got a young mind. You wouldn't hire him?
No. What I'll do is I'll take his CV and I'll get the team that is all under 35 to send his CV out and see what we can do for him. I'll definitely do that. Timothy, if you kind of have to address one of the biggest problems in South Africa at the present moment, it's unemployment. And the people that are being hit by this unemployment are mostly, or the majority is young people. So we are saying, let us have an agency that helps brands and organizations engage with young people. But over and above that, let that agency also create employment for these young people.
But these
so
people,
we kind of killing.
Brad, I have to give you a hard time, though. At some stage, somebody's going to be, they're going to be 35 years old. About to hit 36. What do they do?
Now we put them in the back office. then we put them in the back office. But the front office, it has to be...
straight up. People who are living the journey.
Exactly.
It's interesting how, you know, if you were to take your business... do you have global ambitions? Do you want to take your business abroad, or are you...
At the present moment, we've been doing a lot of work in Southern Africa. One of the biggest concerns in Southern Africa is obviously HIV and AIDS and the young people with regards to that. So we've done a lot of work in Swaziland, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. So our reach is still Southern Africa. I want to expand into obviously Africa and abroad, to work for the United Nations, WHO in the future. But as we start at the present moment, I think we'll focus on Southern Africa, see what we can do, get our footprint there, and then take it.
If you just joined the show, we're speaking to Bradley Maseko, who is, he discriminates in his company, and he only hires people that are 35 and under, and he's very adamant about it. In fact, when you turn 36, he puts you in the back. But what he is basically saying is this, that he wants to engage people who really are living a life, who can connect, who are there on the ground and have grassroots insights to be able to deliver the client the best product. You're on Unbranded. We're talking how youth are influencing the disruption space. And, you know, we talked earlier about examples like Airbnb and so forth. Which brand categories are youth disrupting the most?
At the present moment, on a global scale, we are looking at political brands. If we come back to South Africa, we have the local elections that are in August. If we go to America, we have the presidential elections in a couple of months. We go to the UK, the whole thing with Britain exiting the EU. But let me just break each and every one of them, basically. So in South Africa, we have brands that are now taking time to tailor their messages according to young people because they realize that they want to get the youth vote. It's no longer about approaching the more mature people. It's no longer about approaching the adults, but rather designing the message that will engage and communicate clearly with these young people because they realize that young people now have a greater say and young people now have a greater influence. If you go back a decade before, there wasn't as much attention being paid to the youth market, especially within South Africa. But after the most recent Fees Must Fall, Roads Must Fall, I think a lot of organizations, a lot of brands have actually taken a step back and realized that young people actually do have a say and an influence in what happens politically. So they are now taking charge of their future. They are now taking charge of their destinies and not just sitting back and waiting for people to dictate and tell them that, look, this is how it's going to go for you people. These are the policies that we're going to design for you, for the youth. They are now saying we want to have a say and play a role in the policies, in whatever strategies that are being designed from public to private sector. Anything that you're going to design for the young people, can we be a part of it and can we have a say in it as well?
But this is not really anything new, is it? I mean, if you look at the Enlightenment era of the 1500s, what happened in the 1500s was the Gutenberg press had been invented, and now all of a sudden you find a situation where newspapers are being printed. So you look at the sort of like the 16, 1700s, the world was shook, turned upside down. A lot of the monarchies, the royal houses and so forth were being challenged now because the average human being was able to read in the newspaper what scientists were thinking and so forth. Isn't this just a second Enlightenment era where the average person now has access to what politicians know? They have access to what things are so open platform that through your mobile phone, through your smartphone, you can have information that 30 years ago, only certain influences had, only certain sort of leaders in society had access to. So isn't this just a second Enlightenment era?
I think I totally agree with you in that, in terms of Enlightenment. We're at a position or we're at a time where there's now more information available to young people. And it's not, what can I say, localized information. So if anything happens in America, I can probably get that information faster than exactly someone in America. They will wake up to that information, but because of the time difference, I'll already have that information in South Africa. But more than just getting the information, we are now at a point where I can send out information that can influence my peers, and that information can get viral and can influence the people that we intend that information to be targeting, you know. So we are being exposed to more information, and now we're at a point due to social media, due to technology, where we can now speak out and one single tweet can actually get so viral that we can get people at certain levels that we never thought we could reach actually paying attention and listening to what we have to say.
But there's a lot of pressure on this sort of South African voices. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, in many ways, South Africans are leading how the world sees a number of things. But there are a lot of pressure. If you look at young guys like Casper, you know, he goes to America and literally as he's speaking, no longer do you have that delay where he comes back and 2 weeks later, you know, the reality of what he said is hit live at the moment. There's a lot of pressure. And there's sort of two ways to kind of go about this, sort of how you see and represent your country. You can do it the Casper way, or you can do it the sort of like the way of like Trevor Noah. What I like about Trevor Noah's way, he makes fun of America. He goes there and he basically says, look, you guys are a little bit backwards. Maybe you should consider coming to South Africa. Casper kind of went there and was very grateful. You know, I like Casper. He's a nice guy, but he seemed to be really excited about being there. Which, in terms of South Africa's role in sort of influencing the world, do you see that there are people who are leading that conversation?
I think we have to look at it in this way. So they classify South Africa as a third world country, but we need to understand that it's a third world country that has got certain areas that are first world areas, so certain facilities that qualify as first world. And it's all about exposure. So if you've spent time in the UK, if you've spent time in America, you'll understand that there are certain parts of South Africa that you'll actually come and you'll realize that, oh, wow, I thought this was supposed to be Africa. I thought there was supposed to be poverty everywhere. But we do have poverty. We do have unemployment. We do have every other thing that third world countries are supposed to have. But South Africa, as you mentioned before, is kind of caught in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, it's developed and it's developing, and it has all these first world countries looking down on it and saying, oh, wow, like they are coming up. Like China wants to invest. America wants to come in. America is dumping their chicken here. I mean, China is like trying to, like a lot is happening within South Africa. But a lot of people in South Africa do take this country for granted. So when they now go to America, they represent South Africa as a country that looks up to America, as like America is the ideal country. So as you're saying, like Trevor, Casper will go there and market maybe himself and market South Africa as a country that is coming up. Whereas Trevor is well-traveled. Trevor has been around Africa. He's been around the UK. He's been around different parts of America. So he will go in and he will talk about America and he will talk about South Africa. But I think he's a very good brand in the sense that he acknowledges that South Africa is more than just a developing country. So he's a very good ambassador in those terms, I would say.
If you were speaking at the SABC and doing some advisory work, would you say that the 90% is dangerous, that ultimately it could sort of isolate the sort of the youth from what's happening globally? Or do you feel that the trade-off is actually healthy, that helping develop South African youth artists and the people who want to get global content will just figure out a way to get it? What would you say if you were in a meeting, in a high power boardroom meeting, they brought you in and said, look, you are here because we need to understand how to sort of engineer the mindsets of our youth. Do we go 90%? Should we bring it down to 75%? Should we have 50-50%? The table is yours.
I'll be very honest. With that one, I'll say 50-50. So obviously, there's a lot of young talent. There are a lot of people that are trying to break into the market, get their music out there, get recognized and so forth. So on that ground, I would say, look, let's get airplay for these young people. Let them come in. Let's listen to what they have to offer. If people buy into it, then that's good. Then the other 50, I'd say we cannot ignore the global aspect, because beyond some point, they will listen. They will like, they will listen some more, and then they'll say, yeah, look, I think we've been listening too much to this. Let's kind of hear what they have to offer on the global scale. And then you also have to understand that you have the brands and you have the organizations that also want to advertise on the channels. And they're saying, like I'm not going to mention a lot, but there are stations that agreed to the 90% that after a week they started revising.
Wow.
So, yeah, they all agreed. They were all excited about the 90%. And after a week or so, they were now revising because the listenership was actually coming down. And the advertisers are like, okay, look, if you guys are going to have that 90%, can we perhaps then take our advertising to stations which have certain content that we are looking for? And it's also that global influence.
I think it's
very tricky.
It seems to me that the challenge with the SABC's decision is that they made a decision in a world where we're actually very, very global. And as global citizens, we just want balance. We want to know what's happening in the rest of the world. We want to be able to say we are aware of what's happening in all parts of the world. So I think that, you know, moving forward, and because South African youth want to be informed and so forth, we have to be thinking clearly. I mean, it looks like this sort of balance on even in TV is starting to shift. And brands, are you saying that brands want to advertise around global content and then not as interested in advertising around local content? So what would be the difference if there was 100% South African for the average brand?
I don't necessarily think it's targeting international content. It's just content that is relevant. So content that the listeners want. Right. So I'll give you a perfect example. The way Mzansi Magic owns Sunday. So everyone knows that when it comes to Sunday, Mzansi Magic owns Sunday, and they have local content, locally produced content. Like, you're talking about local weddings, you're talking about local dating shows, and like people want to see that. I'll tell you something. When Date My Family started, and it was the whole international version, people bought into that. They obviously liked it, but it really never trended in South Africa because people really couldn't relate to it. As soon as it came to South Africa, there is no Sunday where Date My Family does not trend. There is no Sunday where OPW does not trend.
Are you single?
Definitely not. With these looks, there's no way, Timothy.
I understand. But if you were single, would you go on Date My Family?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. What would you advise in terms of brands? What type of brand should advertise on Date My Family?
So I would look at, obviously, I would say clothing brands. Because when you go into the house, like, they look at you. So first impressions, you walk in.
Yeah.
So they don't know how you think, how you sound, where you studied or whatever.
The
person in the other room goes, wow, okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So it's the look. So the look. So you have to have your clothes. I will definitely get like some furniture brands in there. Because in some of these houses, you know, you need to just go on Twitter. Like, Twitter will destroy you. People comment about everything, about the way the person is dressed. I would have some hair products as well. They comment about people's hair. They comment about furniture. And without a doubt, I'd have food brands.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll
this is a wide open space. I mean, you actually should host a conversation about this type of thing, because I really feel that people are missing out. They're a little bit slow to the uptake when it comes to, particularly, and it seems like when it comes to white, black, Indian brands, there seems to be a higher premium. I've seen, because of sort of the average household spend, for example, you may have, let's say, 1,000 sort of traditional sort of white households versus 50,000 black households. And sort of the ad spend in the sort of white versus the black household can be much higher in one or the other. Are you seeing that there's a shift in this space?
So the one thing that a lot of brands are doing is they are now kind of stepping back and looking at the disposable income rather than how much people earn.
I see.
So you might have someone who perhaps earns $30,000 per month. But after they've paid all their expenses, their bond, their car installments and so forth, they're left with maybe 6,000 or 5,000. And you might have someone that earns 13,000, but they stay at home with their parents. The car was bought for them, or they bought a used car cash or so forth. Their disposable income might be 10,000.
Got it.
So I think there's now a shift in terms of how brands look at it. They're no longer just looking at what they normally call LSM levels, but rather looking at disposable income in terms of interacting with a lot of these people and the different segments in society.
Got it. Yeah. We're talking with Bradley Maseko. He's the founder of Branded Youth. You can go to their website, www.brandedyouth.co.za. You can follow them on Twitter. When we come back after the break, you will hear more about the youth expo they're having in partnership with Standard Bank. You can follow their Twitter handle, SB Youth Expo. We're talking about how youth are influencing the brand disruption space. We'll be right back.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice, and we're having a chat today with Bradley Maseko, a very inspiring young man who, I'm not sure, I've been thinking hard about this, Bradley. You mentioned before the break that at 35 years old, you throw people in the back. Your company really focuses on 35 and under. What happens when you turn 36?
I'm 3 years away, and we already had the discussion with the team that I will be handing over the torch in the next 3 years. So I'm in the process of actually grooming two guys in the team. So they've been already, they've been briefed already. They've been informed that, look, in the next 3 years, one of you will take over. So you need
you'll
to impress
at,
now. So
you'll sit at chair level, group level type of thing.
Now I'll travel.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
what percentage? What percentage of your employees are male versus female?
So male, I think it's 70% and 30% female. But we've got four
you guys
new.
Are not serious.
No, we are addressing that. We are addressing that. We've got four new females joining us in November.
Even the ANC has got more.
We started with the age. So we've ticked the age. Now we're moving over to the gender. So now we are addressing the gender factor, and we've got four new females joining the team in November, and then I think we'll take it from there.
I'm gonna come help you guys out with this. You know, I write for a women's magazine. I have a show on CNBC Africa where we work with leading women across the continent. I'm gonna come in. I don't charge much. I mean, I'll give you a good rate on this.
No, we can definitely talk.
Your work is particularly inspiring because you're sort of a broker. You know, you're a broker between sort of brands and the youth. And what are you seeing any fundamental difference between male youth and female youth in terms of how they exercise their power? You know, I've always wondered, we talked about Date My Family before we went to break. You know, it'd be interesting to see what percentage of the people. I noticed that the females are intensely hectic. You look at a lot of the celebrity women that are on there, they are very vocal. It'd be interesting to see what percentage. Have you guys looked at those numbers?
We haven't as yet. What we currently were doing was we just finished a research where we were just looking on obviously like sexual behavior, male and female, and it's just interesting to see that now women are being more assertive. Like before, they used to like be impressed by basic things. Like you could go out, meet them, buy a bottle of Moe in the club, and they'll be quite impressed. Whereas they're now looking at long term instead of short term things in terms of what they want in guys.
Is this like blesser psychology you're talking about?
I really hate that whole blesser thing, the whole blesser term. But they're looking at long-term benefits rather than short-term, in the sense that the blessers that will come and say, hey, look, let me buy you a bottle of Moe, let me take you out, buy you a pair of shoes. They're like, okay, look, after you buy me those shoes, after that bottle finishes, what's in it for me? It's a temporary one-day thing, and then we move on. Whereas if we find or maybe term the long-term blessers, you are finding someone who's saying, look, I got your CV. Let me speak to this guy and set up an interview for you. Listen, did you apply for that funding for that university? I know someone who you can communicate with that can help you with that funding. So we are looking at people that are focusing on their education. We're looking at people that are focusing on employment rather than temporary things such as hair, alcohol, and so forth.
Speaking of disruption, it seems as though blessers came in and disrupt the whole dating scene. If you're an average guy, you see a 25-year-old woman who's, you know, smart, sharp, beautiful, educated, and then this blesser comes along. Now, you just started your career. This blesser comes along and can offer so much, particularly some of the things you're speaking about, more than just the champagne and the shoes. He's able to offer security dynamics. Have you seen a disruption in that sort of space? As we get back into the disruption conversation, have you seen that play out?
So what's currently happening, Timothy, is it's actually quite sad, in the sense that the young girls are actually now getting quite confused with this whole blesser concept, to the point that you have social media celebrities or you have people that can be booked for certain jobs. So when they post on, say, Instagram or they post on Twitter, they have their booking information, like their email addresses. Now you have young girls that look up to these girls and they don't understand the concept of them posting their booking information, and they are now posting their personal email addresses, making it easier for these blessers to now come across to them and email them and call them and do these things that are really not long term or beneficial for them. So it's really getting disruptive in a very sad and ugly way. You now have people that are using social media to find blessers, and blessers using social media to find the girls that are actually searching for people like them.
Wow.
Yeah.
And have you seen a situation in your office where, because you have more male, more female, that you, the balance and the dynamic, you're able to have a better sense of what's happening sort of in male trends versus female trends? Or are you guys just really heavily focused on research and it's, you kind of gender neutral?
We kind of have, I think what's very interesting about the office culture or the atmosphere in our office is that the girls in the office are quite hard-headed. So they're very assertive, they're quite hard-headed. So you get a situation whereby when guys become typical guys and maybe say something that is offending to the females or question the females on something, they actually take their stand. And I'll be very biased and say this is because of the culture at Branded Youth, because we only breed the best and obviously the intelligent and the smartest. So
they're not taking nonsense. Basically, they're
really no. Vocal. So we have girls that step back and say, "No, guys, look, I think the way you're addressing this is totally wrong. Guys, have you actually taken time to kind of find out why the girls are responding like that, or why the girls are acting in that way?" So they give us certain insights that we wouldn't have gotten on the ground. So even when we do our focus groups, we have some girls that will step back and say, "Look, please ask them these questions," or let's rather have girls asking them the questions, because as the guys, they feel like they're giving you the questions that they're answering you in a way that they should be answering you instead of the right way. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Let's flip this entire conversation. Mm. Many are arguing that youth have too much power, that they are influencing spaces too much, that they need to be reined in and sort of controlled and channeled. A lot of the instability in the economy globally is because youth is just sort of all over the place, unregulated, literally to a point where there's very little consideration that goes into a lot of the sort of raw sort of discussions. And then the emotions are driving so much of the conversation that it's very difficult to regulate ecosystems and economies. How do you feel about that? Because you guys 35 and under, could you guys be screwing up things?
Not really. I think it's because young people have come to a point where they realize they actually have a say and a greater influence. So if you look at America, the Democrats, for example, like Sanders gave Hillary a run for money for the longest time, and it was because he had the youth vote. So the one thing that Hillary didn't have was the young people, and Sanders did. And that's why after the Republican vote was done, over and done with, and Donald was announced as the guy who's the candidate and so forth, the Democrats still had a couple of weeks pushing on, and it's because Sanders kept on getting more votes, and these votes were actually coming from the youth. So as it is now, we have a situation whereby if you cross over and you go to the UK, for example, after they voted to leave the European Union, a lot of young people then stepped back and said, "Look, we need to take to the streets, because the long-term effects of Britain leaving the European Union are going to be felt by us, the young people, in terms of the economy as well." So it's young people taking the future into their hands. It's young people saying, "Look, we realize that the economy is going to hurt us. We realize that politics is going to have an impact on us. So we need to have a say. We need to vote for the right candidate. We need to vote to stay in. We need to vote to do things that are going to benefit us in the future." Another thing that I think is of great concern, and this is also on a global scale, is that young people are now using social media to kind of like address racial issues. And while at most times it's positive, you also get a number of young people that are actually now using social media for negative reasons. So for example, with regards to the recent shootings in America, where obviously black men were being shot by white cops and so forth, Black Lives Matter obviously took to the ground, took to social media to air their concerns. You had a lot of celebrities airing their concerns and so forth. And then you had the ordinary people that then went on and started the hashtag about white privilege is. And it then turned nasty, because that hashtag was white people talking about white privilege, and then black people talking about white privilege, and then you had some people saying white privilege is knowing that my son can go out at any hour and not be shot, and then black people saying white privilege is, so it just became so racial and unnecessary. And obviously the majority of the people tweeting or trending were young people addressing this. So the idea behind addressing political issues and racial issues on social media is always a good one, but beyond some point it then becomes very nasty, because you get people with their own intentions now coming in and messing up the whole flow of what was intended.
Let's sort of shift to other brand areas that are being disrupted. I noticed that Woolies are really struggling when it comes to their retail dynamic. You know, the brands like H&M, who have far inferior quality in most cases. A lot of these brands, even Zara, some of the quality is terrible. One of the worst is Topshop. Have you ever seen the shoes at Topshop? They're like plastic. They literally like something you would take and hit somebody over the head with, and it would just like fall apart. Like, it's terrible. Some of the quality is so shocking that I wouldn't even, if they said to me, look, I'm going to give you all this stuff for free and you don't have to tweet about it or anything, just wear it, I wouldn't. It's that bad.
You know what it is, Timothy? So let me, if you look at the last 5 years with South Africa, there's been an influx of international brands. So before we had the Topshops, the Zaras, the H&Ms, and Cotton On, we had our normal Truworths, where people would go and buy an account. And if you looked at the trends in Truworths, like, they recycle their trends. I'm sorry to say to all the Truworths listeners, they recycle the trends. So the same trends that they had 3, 4, 5 years ago, they just recycle them in different colors. They come back. And what happened with international brands is they came in, and they came in with the latest trends, not necessarily the best quality, not necessarily the best material, but they came in with international trends at amazing prices. So if you go into university and if you go into high schools, you're looking at how much these guys have to buy all these clothes. So they go into Topshop, they see something, all they see is a nice pair of shoes, even if it means they're going to wait for a month or so forth. What they're going to do is trend for that month when they have those shoes. After the month, when the shoes are over and done with, they simply go back, buy something new. Yeah. So it's a pricing thing for them rather than quality and durability, if I can say
it's
that.
It's this sort of disposable economy where people wear things for a couple months and they throw it away. It's the hottest thing for these few weeks, and it seems like that period is shortening. I remember growing up, you know, in New York, buying H&M, and it was about how long this thing was going to last. Now it's more about, I'm going to wear this thing, it's hot for now, this long shirt. And these long shirts, what's going on with these long shirts? People wear, I went to H&M recently and I felt like, wow, is this like a gown? What kind of, this long shirt, like, if you're short, you're my height or your height, you can't be wearing shirts that go down to your knees. First of all, you look like a midget. You don't have any of those shirts, do you?
No, I don't. I certainly don't.
Guys,
it's a hip hop thing. So obviously, you idolize Kanye, you idolize Jay-Z, of these.
Yeah, but not everybody's in hip hop.
So what happens? I'll give you an example. So Kanye's line, the Yeezy line, with Adidas. A lot of people were like, "Ah, this clothing is weird. It looks like people from the street, and so forth." And then Zara literally copied his line, and they've got a range that looks exactly like Kanye West's.
Like people from the street.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so young people just buy. They buy what's in. They buy what's cool. The one important thing within the youth culture is the cool factor. So, for example, BlackBerry came in. Was cool. BBM was cool. If you didn't have a BlackBerry, you were uncool. At some point, they stopped innovating. The young people noticed that Apple and Samsung were now innovating and becoming cooler. They had cooler apps. They jumped onto that, and then BlackBerry became the uncoolest brand. So if you don't have the cool factor,
sure,
you will not be relevant, and they'll stop paying attention to
it. And it seems like brands like Apple is losing the cool factor. What's fascinating about Samsung, I saw where one of the NBA teams recruited one of the top NBA players, by giving him one of these VR sort of virtual reality things, and they showed him sort of in the game what he would look like in a jersey. They showed him how the team travels and how they experience life, and apparently that's what sold him. And, you know, if you look at the sort of the future as we sort of, you know, transition out of this conversation into our cyber health feature in a moment, you look at the sort of the future of what's happening. What do you see as a two of the top trends people should be looking out for in terms of how youth can sort of disrupt space?
Two top trends? Hey, you just dropped that one on me.
While you're thinking about this, I want to tell people about sort of the Youth Expo that's coming up. I mean, you've got this sort of Standard Bank Youth Expo. I mean, you guys have, I mean, you do a number of expos, as I mentioned at the beginning, but the Standard Bank Youth one is about to roll out. By the way, I'm giving him time to figure out what these two top trends are. Okay, now, so just talk about quickly about the Standard Bank Youth Expo. You've got when is the first one?
So 6th and 7th of August at the Sandton Convention Center. It's the Standard Bank Youth Expo in partnership, obviously, with WeChat. So it's branded, organized by Branded Youth in partnership with Standard Bank and WeChat. This is a platform that Branded Youth has designed as a platform, obviously, for brands to engage with young people. So we are saying to young people, if you want to find out about graduate recruitment, if you want to find out about bursary programs, come through to the expo. If you want to start a business, if you want to find out about funding for the business, or if you just want to get information as an entrepreneur, someone who just finished varsity, how to survive, how to pitch to your clients and so forth, come to the expo. There'll be different brands there that will be able to assist you. And over and above that, we also have the Youth Empowerment Conference, where all the speakers, we have 16 speakers, it's all speakers under the age of 35, who have struggled and made it within this particular economy, within this generation, that will be able to speak to young people, to tell them how they did it, what problems they faced, what barriers, what hurdles, and so forth. So it's young people speaking to other young people, telling them how best they can actually engage or make it out there in this harsh economy and everything else that's happening.
Have you figured out the trends yet?
So
I gave you plenty of time. You've got to be able to drop the trends now.
Okay. So what trends? Just repeat that question again, Timothy.
Two of the top trends that we're seeing in terms of how youth are disrupting brands.
You really dropped that one on me.
Give me one, I'll give you one. Let's do it like that.
I mean, I think particularly in sort of co-creation. I mean, this idea of co-creating is, you know, it, you know, being involved in design, being involved in, you know, creating film, for example, being involved in creating design and look of products in general, and the fact that people do not want things that are going to last forever. That seems to me the new thing. I can even see, like, in the future, you know, phones that only last, you know, a couple months, and it's the hottest thing for now, and it's bendable, et cetera. And then, you know, they involved in how it looks. If you look at the Nike and all of these other brands that where you can design your own look of your shoe, I think co-creation is one of the biggest.
Okay, so look, on my end, I think it's technology and health. So a lot of young people are now taking their health concerns, obviously, like, it's now a priority when it comes to this. And it's the fusion of technology and how you can get health on the same line. So
Boom. How
can I use technology to make sure that I'm healthy? How can I use technology to make sure that I don't go out and pay consultation fees for $550 just for a doctor to tell me I need to go and buy this medication? So I think it's young people using technology and health apps to actually kind of like change the way the health brands are actually addressing and catering to them.
Bradley, you saved yourself. I ain't gonna lie, I was worried. I'm like, you came strong with this interview and then you closed. You saved yourself. Branded Youth has been saved. And then if you get more women, you're going to be on the top of your game.
Definitely.
You got 3 years left.
At the end of the year.
Yeah, you've got 3 years left at Branded Youth. I wish you the best as you go out strong.
Timothy, thanks a lot for having me on the show. Really appreciate it, eh?
You're a superstar. Cool, follow cool. them again at SB Youth Expo. That's Mr. Bradley Maseka. We're going to shift now to our cyber health feature with Rianette Lebowitz. We'll see you next week.
Unbranded on cliffcentral.com.
Hello, my name is Rianette Lebowitz. I'm from SafetyNet Cyber Safety, and thank you again for joining us this week. As you know, SafetyNet is a non-profit company, and we aim to save lives by making sure that people become cyber savvy. We want you to make the right decisions, to make the responsible decisions, so that you don't get into bad and ugly situations online. So please follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. It's SAVETNet. And we would love to engage with you, hear what you've got to say, and let us know if you're in trouble. That's why we're here. We exist because we create awareness, but we also help. So this week, I would like to share with you that according to Kaspersky Lab, more than 884,000 new malicious programs were dedicated or detected in 2015, a threefold increase on 2014, indicating the vast risk as well as global need for financial protection for consumers. And that is why it is really, really good news that Incredible Connections in South Africa's, it's one of South Africa's leading technology retailers, announced that it has partnered with cybersecurity-based insurance company PhishShield to offer consumers cyber fraud and phishing insurance cover at no additional cost. That's cool, hey? For all internet-enabled products across selected products, a move that is set to create an even stronger value proposition for the brand aimed at service delivery leadership. So this is important for everyone to understand, because no longer can we ignore the fact that we have to protect ourselves, not just our behavior, but what other people could do with our information. And that is why I think Incredible Connection consumers will be lucky and will be fortunate to have access to a technical support team available for queries or claims across all channels, including online, telephone, and email. Furthermore, a registered FSP and underwriting management agency, and backed by reinsurer Zurich Re, PhishShield ensures compliance with all insurance frameworks and offers the Incredible Connection consumer peace of mind that their policy is managed by a reputable business. So I invite you to please go and check out what this is all about, because let's listen to what marketing executive at Incredible Connections had to say. This is Mashura Ahmed. Said, we understand that as a responsible retailer, we need to optimize all touch points of the product experience, those that have a potential impact on the consumer, and we need to find ways to mitigate any negative experience they may have. And of course, the protection against a global phenomenon such as phishing is certainly another way we are able to do this. So I hope and I trust that more people in the industry and companies and players will start to look at the cyber safety aspect and giving consumers and clients more options to protect themselves. So again, we invite you to please be responsible on the cyber highway, have fun, spread the word in a positive way, and join us next week again for the cyber health feature. Thanks again. Take care.
Unbranded on cliffcentral.com.